Well, I'm supposed to, as long as I'm standing here, I'm supposed to say good morning.
Good morning.
Because it's still morning, and I cannot believe this winter is almost over. I mean, it's spring out there right now. Before you know it, the crocuses will be up. So it's a good day. We have been looking at the two letters that Paul wrote to Timothy, young pastor. And these two books if you've been here at all, I mean, you can see that these two books are absolutely packed full of instruction. Now, I don't know about Timothy, but when somebody throws that much at me in a letter, it's not easy. I can start at the beginning, and by the time I'm at the end, I don't remember what was in the beginning. So that's the purpose of study. And today there's going to be an emphasis on the whole. I'm going to do an overview of the whole, both letters that Paul wrote to Timothy. And that emphasis, see if you can pick up on it, okay? See if you can find what that emphasis is that Paul is trying to convey to Timothy. Let's begin. Paul's letters to Timothy are an excellent opportunity for us to understand the duties of a young pastor and teacher. Along with those duties, we see a great message for all of us as representatives of Jesus in the world. Jesus left the disciples with a profound command: go into the world and preach the gospel, proclaim the gospel. And what is that gospel? It's a simple answer. It's the story about Jesus. It's the story about Jesus. You've heard me say that several times. But isn't that our obligation to all of our friends, our neighbors, and even people we run into, like me at Myers? I just talk to everybody. And somehow it runs into talking about Jesus. I just find that just kind of necessary for me. But today we're going to do an overview of 1 and 2 Timothy and identify the main emphasis of each chapter. As we go through the chapters, a common theme will stand out. Try to spot that theme as we go. And remember, there are 6 chapters in 1 Timothy and 4 chapters in 2 Timothy. Paul did not write in chapters. He wrote in regard to subject matter, and each subject has a theme. I got to say, God is truly in this today, because what Lori said was absolutely fit, absolutely perfect. And I want to just thank a couple people, especially Terry Jo and Jim and Mark, for putting together what's going to happen at the end. It's necessary, because it's going to really emphasize exactly what we're talking about today. So thank you for that. Let's start 1 Timothy chapter 1. That's a good beginning. Oh, by the way, before I go too much further, how many of you here know me as TJ? How many of you know me as my real name? Do you know my real name? Timothy. Okay. My mom, there were 6 siblings: Jim, Linda, Jerry, Gerald, Timothy, and then the twins, Paul Alvin and Philip Melvin. They butchered them, but I mean, that's okay. But 6 kids, and I got the Timothy. So it's good to be able to teach Timothy. I enjoy it. And by the way, that letter was written to me. So verses 3 and 7 of 1 Timothy 1, "As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines." Now, if you've got a pen, I printed this all out for you so that you can do some notes or circles. I would encourage you, I'm going to say it at the time, but circle that. He says not to teach false doctrines. That's important. or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. Circle that meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they're talking about or what they so confidently affirm. Well, there's a theme there. Be aware of false teaching. It promotes controversial speculations. We'll see that again in 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 6. I urge then, first of all, that petitions and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people. Pray for people, for kings and all those in authority, that they may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases our God and Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Circle knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. That theme that we keep talking about, the theme here, through prayer, God wants people to witness our love for people and thus shows his desire for all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Remember Jesus' comment, I am the way and the truth and the life. 2 Timothy 3. Verses 14 and 16, although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. I know it's highlighted, circle that. The pillar and foundation of the truth, beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs, is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up into glory. And before I go to the theme here, that what he just said, that section of verse 16, he appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up into glory. That is the story of Jesus. Is that really hard to remember? I don't think so. That's not hard to remember. So we know the story of Jesus. At least you heard it today. So that's the story that we need to share with people. Now the theme for Timothy, 1 Timothy 3, godly conduct. Why? Because it represents the pillar and foundation of what? The truth. Now, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits, circles, deceiving spirits, and things taught by demons, circle that. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. Know the truth. Circle that. That's an important part of this. Verse 6, if you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, and you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching, circle that, the good teaching that you have followed. The theme, be aware. Again, another, this is happening more often. Again, this theme, Be aware of false teaching. Point them out using your knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 5. This chapter covers the matter of respect. That was the chapter that I had the blessing of being able to share, and it is. It's a chapter all about respect of others and how to spot those living in sin, which is the power of Satan. Circle power of Satan. That's pretty important to this, because people will come, and 2 Peter talks about it too, and even the seed that's sown by the way, you know, you hear these stories and you hear about these people that have come to the knowledge of Christ, and then for some reason they fall away. And one of those very important reasons is false teaching. They're taught by people who are just liars, and they're of Satan. And they take away from the truth of the fact that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. Jesus is the one. So when we read these things, like we do in 2 Timothy, in 1 Timothy, it's important to remember that we understand that Paul is just so adamant about false teaching and warning Timothy, you've got to be aware. Verse 21, I charge you in the sight of God in Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions. Circle, keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. The theme, respect people with understanding. Call out the sin that tears us away from God and affects the body of believers negatively. What's the best way to please Jesus? To serve Him and not other gods. To serve Him as your only God. 1 Timothy 6, verses 2 through 6. These are the things you are to teach. Circle that, teach. And insist on. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound doctrine or instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth, circle truth, and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. That's 1 Timothy. And Paul threw a lot at Timothy in those first six chapters, those first six sections of his letter. I'm sure Timothy was glad that was written down, because he had it to refer back to. He could go back to Paul's letters and read it. He could absorb it. As he studied it, he gained and gained and gained and gained more understanding from the master teacher next to Jesus, Paul, the Apostle Paul. Let's go to 2 Timothy now, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. What you have heard from me, I would say circle that. What you have heard from me, circle that. Keep as the pattern of, there again, sound teaching. With faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. The theme, guard the sound teaching with the help of the Holy Spirit. Boy, that theme is just standing out more and more and more that Paul's trying to convey to Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, verses 14 through 17. Keep reminding people. Now, I'll stop for a second. This has been a contention for me when people teach children or anybody to learn 2 Timothy 2:15. Can somebody repeat that? Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, why is he instructing him so strongly about right studying to show himself approved and to rightly divide the word of truth? Why is he doing that? Because that's where 2 Timothy, the verse just in front of that comes in. In 2 Timothy 2:14, keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. So they're going to be doing that. They're going to quarrel about words. I don't agree with this method or this. I don't agree with your thought about this. I don't agree with that. Warn them to stop doing that. But when you warn them to stop, you need to have studied to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed of the word of God and rightly divides the word of truth so that that quarreling can go away. I'm going to tell you the truth. You need to listen to it. That's Paul teaching Timothy to do the same thing. 2 Timothy 2:14 and 15. 13 and 14. The theme, how to avoid false teachings. All right, let's take all the way to 2 Timothy 3, verses 5 through 7. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible anybody, here it says women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to what? The knowledge of the truth. The theme, avoid false teachers and understand who they are. And you need to avoid them. Paul's warning Timothy, avoid false teachers. Don't have anything to do with them. They're from Satan, and they're there totally to destroy the message of Jesus Christ. Get them out of your life. It's good instruction for all of us. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom. Boy, he's telling that story of Jesus again, isn't he? Why does Paul keep doing that? Because it's what he was commanded to do. Paul, go into the world and preach, teach the gospel. Get it out there. Show people who I am and what I've done for them. I lost my place. They're the kind who worm the way. Yes. The theme here is avoid the false teachers. Now we're on to 2 Timothy 4. In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, I just did that, be prepared in season and out. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. And now circle that sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what they want to hear, what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. The theme, give careful instructions to help avoid who? False teachers. Chapter 4 is the last of the 10 chapters that Paul, or the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy. And Paul gives some more final instructions to Timothy, and then closes with some personal remarks about greeting people, and you can read that, and it's interesting. But I am so convinced that Paul, in his heart, as we went through Paul's journeys, and every place he went, he taught like this. 2 Peter talks about the fact that he says, I'm in a tent. My body is I'm in a tent, and I'm going to soon be putting it aside. But you know the message. You know the message because I've given it to you. Now use that message. Take it into the world. Use it because it's powerful. Did you ever think in your heart, in your head, before you go out into the world in the morning, whatever you say, and it doesn't matter what you say, people hear it. Do they see Jesus? Because I do it. I get upset. I get angry. I get whatever the case might be. I get proud. I get whatever it is. And people see that too. I was at work one day in one of my first engineering jobs, and I made a statement that they knew I was a believer because, I mean, I'm kind of outspoken, but I made a statement that didn't sound very well. And I'll just use his first name, but Greg said, wow. He said, you sure showed us who you are. I hurt. It was already out. I went to him later at lunchtime, and I said, I need to apologize. That was me. That wasn't Jesus. That was me, and I'm sorry. I represent him, and I didn't when I said that. Have you ever done that? It's a good thing to do because it puts you in your place, because we have that happen and we have to understand it's going to happen. But what should we do? Let people know that was me. That wasn't Jesus. Throughout these two letters to Timothy, Paul gives very sound instruction, and that instruction comes with a very definite theme. Have you been able to identify this theme? Ask one important question, and you'll get that answer. How will Timothy know what to teach, and where will that knowledge come from? The Word of God. Jesus gave us His words, God's words, so that we could learn from him like Timothy is learning from Paul. We can learn from Jesus because it's in our Bible. He gave us a book, a manual. Thank you, Lori. A manual to go by. That's what he did. Do we use it? Are we taking advantage of the fact that we have God's word to read? I'm going to have a little video played that it fits so perfect for today. It's from a couple of years back, and it's the governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem. She's a believer. You'll kind of see that in this, but it just set the stage for what we talked about today.
Farmer or a rancher in your life, you know that they often live out of their pickup. one of us farmer's kids knows that the pickup is the first place that you look. Now, as the new general manager of the business, a couple of months after Dad died, I knew that where that pickup was, what was in it, and I needed to clean it out eventually. But those months had also been filled with hundreds and hundreds of questions. What seed should we be planting? What field should we plant first? What's the price that we need to sell our calves for to cash flow the cattle operation? And I didn't have those answers. I remember wishing over and over again, if I could just ask Dad, if I could just ask Dad one more question. And frankly, I was running the business, but I was daily faking my way through it. I had no idea how we were going to keep our family business going without my dad. And I was determined, though, that we weren't going to fail. So that day, as I carried a box out to the pickup, I knew it was time to clean it out. I stuck my hand down into the console in the middle between the chairs in the front seat, and I started to put items in the box that I was taking out. So the first thing was a pliers. How many of you know what a pliers is? A Baby Ruth candy bar. I remember that was his favorite. Notebooks, pens, tools. And then I found a little tiny tape recorder. It was the kind of tape recorder that a doctor dictates into. I pushed the play button, and immediately I heard my dad's voice. He was talking about seed corn varieties, which ones had performed well on certain fields that we owned that went with certain soil types. He spoke about how we had such a wet year the year before that resulted in poor crop yields and damaged grain. We had had a tough harvest, and he went on to describe what kind of variety choices he would have made differently, what he thought might work better for the spring that we were anticipating ahead. My eyes started to fill up with tears as I realized I was learning information that was going to be helpful to me in making crop decisions. I looked down into the console and I saw several more tapes, almost a dozen of them in all. And one by one, I put them in the tape recorder sitting there in that pickup, and I listened to my dad's voice talk about the cows, weather, markets, and what to do if we were ever caught in a tough financial situation. Inside those tapes were the answers to so many of the questions that I had had over the past several months. Over and over again, I had said, if I could just ask Dad. And here in my hands were all the answers that I needed, straight from him in his voice in the palm of my hand. Now, in that moment, I felt a strange sort of peace settle over me. I know Scripture talks about a peace that passes all understanding. It was almost at that moment as if God was saying to me, I will provide. Stop worrying. You will be okay. Your family will be okay. I've got this. I had the answer. I just needed to get to work. Now, Dad was always the hardest worker that I knew. He led by example and he led by action. But that day, what changed everything was his words. I made a decision that day to be like my dad. A person of words, but a person of action. Because both matter. That's why I ran for office.
We have the tape recorder. That book, I don't have my Bible with me up here, but that book is the tape recorder. Does it tell us the message if we just leave it sit? You got to press the button. Press the play button. God is waiting to tell you everything you need to know. Everything. He's got all the answers. He will bless you beyond compare if you just hit the play button. Father, you have been very, very good to us. We can look back through the first and second books of Timothy and understand and realize that Paul's message to Timothy was one that was so important, even to us, to know your word. Because if we know your word, we can tell the story of Jesus. Help us to do that. Help us to be effective. Help us to go out every day and realize that people listen to what we say. And if we say things, they need to be coming from you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.